Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon from our Southwest campus.
It's great to be in the house of the Lord. It's great to serve a God who is risen, amen, who laid down his life for us and gave everything to us. Now we're co-heirs in Christ when we put our belief in him. So church, this morning, let's worship in that understanding. Let's worship in that power. And let's worship in that hope, amen, because we put our hope in Jesus Christ, hope in things that are not seen, but things that are happening all around us. So this morning, let's worship the Lord, for he's worthy of our praise. Let's worship him in the excitement and joy that he brings to us every single day, knowing the victory is his. So this morning, let's worship the Lord in the freedom of the Spirit. Lord, we lift your name to its proper place above all names. Lord, we put you in your proper place above all things. Lord, we worship you, Lord, not because we have to, Lord, because we get to. And the more we worship you, the more we are aware of how powerful you are, how in control you are. And everything the enemy says is a lie, and his kingdom has an end and is coming to an end. But your kingdom will reign forever. And that's why, Lord, we rejoice in this fallen world that you've redeemed us back to yourself through your Son. And now we have fellowship with you. Now we can come to you boldly and proclaim who you are. And Lord, and we can see who we are in you. Lord, you are King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You are the great I Am. You are the beginning and the end. You see everything and you are everything. Lord, we rejoice as the angels, Lord, that fly around your throne sing, holy, holy, holy. Lord, we sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Thank you for sharing your holiness with us, for redeeming us. Lord, and we thank you for the fellowship we now have with you. Bless us here as we seek you and your kingdom and put your word in our heart. Hide it within us so it comes out, so we can be a light to this world. In your precious and holy name, amen and amen. It's great to see you all in the house of the Lord. It truly is. It's great to have you in what we call a church family. We're called a church family because we're all united in Christ. We're all united in him, and we have a purpose and a mission on this earth, and that is to love God with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. This morning, I want to dive into a new series, Living for Eternity, understanding that word, eternity. Now we understand that word means timeless, right? Without time. All the limits of time are taken out of eternity. But what we fully understand what eternity is, it's a place where God exists, where all the limitations of time are taken out. And if we live with the understanding of eternity right now, it will answer our questions. It will make this word come alive. We begin to understand God more, understand his process, his ways, understand suffering, loss, trial and tribulation, the joys of this world. If we see it, this word, through the lens of eternity, because when we fully grasp and understand that this life is not the main life, but it's preparation for eternity with the Lord, we begin to see things differently. So this morning, I want to dive into this understanding to give us the hope that is in Christ Jesus, that we are living for more than just what we see. Because if this life was the only life, it would be a sad life. Amen? But this is not the only life. So I want to start with a quote this morning by Jim Elliot. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Church, how many of us are living that way right now? That we're willing to give away what is temporary to seize what is eternal. Because in the kingdom of God, we are called to live life differently. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. He didn't say, seek first the temporary things of this world. Seek first the pleasures and the comfort of this world. He said, seek a kingdom that you cannot see and I will reveal it to you. Once we're born again, as Jesus said, we begin to see things differently, live differently. As the sanctification is happening within our heart, we begin to see and understand things differently. As Paul said, I was blind and now I can see. What he was saying was, I couldn't understand and see the kingdom, but now I see the purpose of why Christ came, of why he redeemed us, and the new purpose we have in him. So this morning, if you will allow me, let's go into the Word and let's go deep into the Word to understand and allow it to be his Word and not my opinion. So let's go to Solomon, the book of the preacher, chapter 3, verse 11. He says, he has made everything beautiful in his time. So that tells us that God is in control of time, right? He has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. So if you look at that word eternity, it means timeless, right? Endless. But it also has a different weight to it. It's where God exists and the limitations of time are gone. That's why we're called to live by faith, amen? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what? Not seen. So we are living with this eternal perspective, if we're aware of it or not, because the Bible speaks in terms of eternity, timelessness, forever. We use that word forever on this earth, but it doesn't apply because everything has a beginning and an end, the scripture says. But God never had a beginning and he'll never have an end. Now that blows my mind. That's always blown my mind. God never had a beginning. He'll never have an end. And in Christ, we'll never have an end with him. And his kingdom is the one that will rule and reign forever. And that is the kingdom we're living for. So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 through 18, to see this eternal perspective in Scripture, how the writers of the New Testament, of the Old Testament, were always writing from a perspective of eternity. And Paul says here, for our light affliction. What if you were suffering greatly? Could be in your body, could be emotionally. You're going through something very intense, and someone says to you, oh, it's just but a mere light affliction. Amen? You would want to put your hands on them, right? Because you are like, no, this is now, it's happening, and I'm going through it, and this is hard. Paul's not speaking from a perspective of earth. He's talking about eternity in the kingdom. And he says, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Amen. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So what Paul is saying here is everything we see, everything around us is temporary. That has to sink into our mind and into our heart to fully grasp and understand what eternal life is. Now, it's so easy for us to use the word or for have others to twist the word that this life is the best life, that we are called to live our best life now. But as we look in the scriptures and we look through the examples of Jesus, the apostles, and the early church, we see examples of sacrifice, of this eternal perspective. Because how would Jesus lay down his life for us and go through all that suffering if this life was the goal? Why would the apostles, the early church, give up their life for Jesus if this life and what we see, what we feel, and what we touch was the main goal of life? Because as we look at the scriptures, we will see a calling to see something more profound, more deep than just what is around us, more than just what we feel or what we think we need. Because how many times have we prayed for something and the Lord says, no, that's not for you. And we get offended, we get hurt, and we ask the Lord, how come you're not doing this? How come you're not doing that? I'm the chief sinner in that area. Because God has a plan for us that far exceeds our own understanding of what this world is. Because if this world was the only goal, then just grab everything you can. Do anything you want. And live for the pleasure of now and not think about the future. Sounds familiar, right? It sounds like the temptation of the serpent in the garden. Adam and Eve traded eternity and eternal life for something temporary. And the enemy's still trying to make that exchange for us now. So I want to look at a scripture and see how we can read it in a temporary way or an eternal way. So let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. And see how easy it is to see the scripture in these two distinct ways. So Paul speaking here, he says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. That is key. I know how to be abased, be low. I know how to abound, have a lot. Everywhere in all things, I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Then, of course, we know this in verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, if I have a temporary view and I'm living for this world, I forget verses 11 and 12, right? And I jump right to verse 13. And I say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? We get it on tattoos, bumper stickers. We put it up in our house. And we live for what? Self. We isolate the scripture and say, well, God's going to give me anything I desire in this world because I can do all things through him. Such a temporary view of an eternal God. So we get that mixed up, and the enemy loves to do that. But when we add verses 11 and 12 and put verse 13 as proper context, Paul's saying, in this life, you will have a lot and you will have little. But regardless if you're full or you're hungry, you can do it through Christ who gives you strength. Because it's about the journey and about what we learn on the journey and not the comfort in which we all seek and desire in this world. Amen? I'm the king of comfort. I love comfort. We all do, right? But when we are seeking comfort above the narrow path, above God, above what he's called us to do, we become people not led of the Spirit, but led of this flesh. This flesh desires the temporary things of this world. This flesh will hurt everyone around it to get what it wants. But there's something better for us to live to and aspire to. So this morning I want to look at how to live our lives in an internal way. Because God wants to bless us. He's going to bless us. But this journey is not about what we can gain. It's what we can give him. So let's go to Luke chapter 12, verse 16 through 21. Are you with me this morning? Yes. So let's see what Jesus is saying here as we can all relate to the story. Then he told them a story. A rich man had fertile farmland, produced fine crops. And he said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. He was very prosperous. Then he said, I know, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. Amen. Isn't that the goal of life? right there? To sacrifice, to gain, to get as much as you can, to get to a place, maybe hopefully, that you can have this time where you can eat, drink, and be merry. Because this is what the world says is success and what we should strive for. But here's what God says, and this is very profound and powerful, verse 20. But God said to him, "You fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you work for? Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God." It's right here in black and white, or in red in some Bibles, that Jesus is telling us something greater than what this world is saying. This world wants us, and the enemy desires for us to sacrifice everything for the temporary fruit of this world. But what if we pursue everything we desire and everything we want, and at the end of the race, we realize it was all for nothing? Church, there's no one in heaven that would trade places with any of us here today. No one. Not for all the money and all the power and all the prestige this world has to offer. No one would trade heaven for us right now. So why are we trading heaven for earth? And this is what Jesus is warning, that we can do everything the world says is right, but we are missing what is righteous and holy, and that is a relationship with the Lord. It doesn't mean that God doesn't want you to prosper and bless. He does, but following him. Because the scripture tells us, Jesus said, the Father knows what you need, and he will give it to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And he talks about everything we need. We need to feel emotionally accepted, right? That comes from God's love. We need to feel like we have purpose. That comes from the word of God. We need to feel comfort, love, and safety. That comes from God. We need to have purpose. We need to have a talent, to have a job, to produce money, and to provide for our families. Guess what? All that comes from God. All that comes from him. He knows what you need. He knows what you desire. But he's going to give it to you his way. And we should not compromise or walk with the Lord for more than what he has destined for us. So let's go to James chapter 4, 13 through 17 to see how we approach this life. And this is a very profound statement James says here. He says, "Look here, you who say, today or tomorrow we are going to a certain town and we will stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit." Making plans, right? We're saying we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and this is what our life's going to be 5, 10, 15 years down the road. But James brings us back to a reality. He says, "How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog or vapor. It is here a little while, then it's gone." That's very humbling. We plan, right? We're called to plan, but we're also called to understand we can't know what tomorrow lies. How many of us can guarantee we know what tomorrow will bring us? None of us here. And that's what James is bringing our attention to. He's saying, you don't know what tomorrow will bring. You don't know what God has planned. So we should live our lives in a way of an awareness of our mortality, but more importantly, of God's immortality, his infinite wisdom, his infinite power, and his infinite love for us. That we should live in his will and not our will. We should do things his way and not our way. In verse 15, he goes on to say, "You ought to say this, if the Lord wants us to, we will live this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own pretentious plans, for all such boasting is evil. Remember, it is a sin to know what you ought to do, then not to do it. It doesn't mean we have this grim look on life and say, oh, my life is a vapor. It could end any moment. No, we live in the certainty of what God has for us. We're giving God control and we're saying, Lord, you determine my steps. Lord, I'm making my plans, but the scripture says you determine our steps. It is understanding who God is and what he play and what role he plays in our lives. Because how many times do we do things our way, we mess it up, and we run back to God and say, Lord, you messed everything up for me. Why did you allow that to happen? Why did you bring this into my life? Amen? Because let's be honest with each other. When we mess up, we love to blame someone else. But the scripture makes it very clear. God's perfect. He never makes a mistake. He cannot lie. He cannot deceive. He is perfect in every way. And his way for us is perfect. And his path is going to have ups and downs, trials and tribulations, victories and defeats. But it's all to prepare us for something bigger than what we can see. See, the serpent tempted Eve with a fruit to know and become like God. And when Adam and Eve ate the fruit, they gained a wisdom of God, but they lost the eternal perspective. They realized how much God was protecting them from. And they quickly learned life without God is a lot harder than life with God. And they were kicked out of the garden, and everything became difficult and hard, and they had to, like we do today, live in a world that is still living under the curse. But we've been redeemed from the curse, and the Lord is saying, walk this way, and you'll avoid all the pain of this temporary world if you follow me. Because when we have this eternal perspective, it makes this life make sense. Because we have all have lost someone, right? Lost loved ones, lost someone close to us. And in the moment, it's very painful and very hard, and you're living with that every day. And if you're only living for this world, then that pain is unbearable. It should destroy us. It should kill us. Mourning should literally kill us. But the Bible says we mourn with a hope, and that hope is nothing is lost in Jesus. It's just temporary absence. Because then in eternal life, everything gets put back together better than it was on earth, and then nothing can separate us from him or those loved ones that have gone on before us. And that's the hope we live in. In this eternal life that is so greater than we can comprehend or I can articulate with human words. But how do we live for eternity? Well, let's go to Matthew 6, 19 through 21 as Jesus gives us instructions on how to live for eternity. He says, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them. And where thieves break in and steal. Store up your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy them, and thieves do not break in and steal. Where your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. So how do we store up treasures in heaven? Well, there's two commands Jesus gave us in a new commandment. Love our Lord God with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and love our neighbor as ourselves. Every time we do that simple act, that simple thing, we are storing up treasures in heaven. Every time we think about someone else above ourselves, we're storing up treasures in heaven. Every time we choose God's way above our way, we're storing up treasures in heaven. And it could mean that we're taking a career path, a job with lesser money. It could mean that we're choosing family over promotion, or we're choosing a difficult way instead of going the easy way. But every time we do that and make those choices, we're storing up treasures in heaven which cannot be taken from us. And it doesn't mean this life means nothing. No, it means we live with a purpose far beyond those who aren't redeemed with Christ, because this life becomes richer and fuller when I'm living in the light of eternity and storing up treasures in heaven, because everyone I come around, it's an opportunity to bless and love and use the love God has given me through him to love someone else. It takes away selfishness, amen? It takes away selfish ambition. It takes away pride. It takes away all the ugly things we see in this earth around us. Every time we go out, you see people angry, irritated, and they're just only thinking about themselves. But what a beautiful world it would be if we all lived in this understanding of storing up something in heaven and taking every opportunity to love and to think about others and not ourselves. Every time we do that, church, you are doing the work of the Lord. You don't have to be a pastor. You don't have to be a missionary. You don't have to do all these elaborate things if God's not calling you to do that. If you simply love those around you, you're doing the work of the Lord. And you're making the world a better place for it. In closing, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 2 says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of earth." We seek the wisdom of God. We seek his word and his ways. His ways are above all our ways. His understanding is above our understanding. Just think about this. The complexity of the human body, or even the mind, the complexity of the mind, which is greater than any computer on earth, and what the mind can do, God created that in less than a second. He took dirt and formed all the complexities of our body and made it work just perfectly and blew his life into Adam. Your breath that you're breathing right now, the scripture says, is from God himself. It's a gift. And when we fully grasp and understand that his ways are above our ways, his wisdom is above our wisdom, his truth is the truth, makes life a lot simpler, doesn't it? A lot easier. Church, we're called to do one simple act, is to put him before ourselves, to seek his kingdom above our own ways. It's a simple changing of the thought process in the mind. And it starts by simply praying. Say, "Lord, put this eternal perspective before me. So everything I see and everything I filter goes through this eternal perspective, that this life is not the only life, but is preparation for the eternal life to come. That when I take my last breath from this world, I can stand before you knowing that I've done your will." Because we will all stand before the Lord and we will all see him face to face. No one else will be around you. No one else will give an account for you. You will stand before the Lord. And the scripture says on that day, we should have boldness and understanding that Jesus Christ was sent for us, suffered for us, and died so we could have eternal life. Let's pray. Lord, get this, as the scripture says, Lord, put eternal life into our hearts. Put it into the forefront of our mind and thinking. And Lord, as we go through this series to learn about eternal life, show us the importance of to have this mindset of living for something that we cannot see. We cannot understand with our earthly thoughts, but it's there for us. Lord, as you describe faith as substance, things hoped for, the evidence, things not seen, Lord, we're pulling from that faith. We're trusting you in living this way because of what you have put before us, and those who have gone before us live this way. Lord, the early church, as we know, they were persecuted. Lord, they were thrown to the wild animals. They were tried to be made a spectacle, but they laid down their lives, men, women, and children, because they tasted and saw that you were good, and this life was meant to be lived for you. Lord, you are the greatest example, for you came down, who knew no sin, became sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. You took on our burdens, and you lived this life not for you, but you lived it for the Father for our benefit. And Lord, let us do the same with our lives. Lord, if we will follow you, our lives will be richer, fuller, and more abundant, and we will have more love to give than we know what to do with. Lord, open our eyes and our hearts, and let, Lord, give us the comfort of the eternal life that is to come. Comfort those who have lost loved ones who are now standing in your midst. Lord, comfort us as we suffer and go through this world. And Lord, let us rejoice when we get to the mountaintop and we overcome through you our problems. Lord, as Paul said, whether we're low or high, we can do all things through you who gives us strength. Lord, and we declare that and stand on that in your precious and holy name. Amen and amen. Amen. There's truly nothing like our Lord God, the Lord God Almighty. At this time, I want to ask Jonathan and Rachel Lindell to come up. Before we bless our backpacks and the skids for the kids for the new school year, I want to welcome up our Jonathan and Rachel and their desire to join our church family. They've been coming to our church, yes. Here, I'll get beside y'all so you don't have to break your neck and trying to look at me. It's such a blessing to have Jonathan and Rachel in our church family and getting to know them and getting to know their heart for the Lord and what God is doing in our midst. Amen. What God is doing at the Way LBK. So it's so incredible. So if you have a desire to join our church, then just inquire, ask me, and we'll make it happen. But this morning, Jonathan and Rachel joining, let's pray for them. And let's pray that the Lord will continue to grow them in our church family and show them the path forward and use them in a mighty way here at the Way LBK. Let's pray together. Lord, we pray for this special couple, Lord, as they have chosen, Lord, to join us on this journey with you. Lord, bless them. Lord, continue to grow them in your word. Lord, continue to love them. And Lord, allow us to be a vessel of that love for them. Lord, allow them to see what great things you have for them and the future you have for them with us. And Lord, it'll create in them, Lord, a spirit that is defined by you. And Lord, and show them where to lead and where they can be used. Lord, bless them, and Lord, we're thankful for them in your precious and holy name. Amen and amen. 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 It's so great to have you all part of our church family. And we are blessed to have you all with us. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.